Coming to you live from the Gotham... Wait, sorry, that's Hey Kids Comics. Hey, do you like the Star Wars? Well, we hope you do.
That was the first second I thought you had hit your head. Like, Colt, he's on the completely wrong show.
That's right.
Someone called an ambulance. Get him over there.
That's impressive. Less than a second in, and it's already derailed.
Right, exactly. We can top that.
We can split seconds on this show. We can split seconds on an atomic level.
Right, exactly.
It's dangerous, but we do it.
And if you listeners are wondering whose voice that was, we have a treat for you all tonight, because we have a podcasting legend in our midst. The one, the only, Jeff McGee.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Oh,
thank
definitely.
Thank you for joining us. Oh, this is, I think, your first time on the not live show.
That's right.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Well, the G.I. Joe one should count.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
But that was like a Rancor Pit special, so this is your first actual in continuity episode, I suppose.
Right.
For the podcast.
And we can't, my first canon pre-recorded episode.
There you go, your first canon.
Well, actually, the previous one was canon until Disney got a hold of it.
That's true. Well, Jeff, we're gonna hit you with something tonight, something very special, and any listeners out there who also follow Hey Kids Comics will kind of know where we're going, because we're kind of tail-ending
this.
Right. So, Cole, since it originated on Hey Kids Comics, why don't you tell everyone, and Jeff, for the first time, what he's in for?
All right. Well, this is going to be a very unique episode for us, because for some reason, despite the fact that Hey Kids Comics did this once before, did it again very recently, about a week or two ago, it never occurred to us until Eddie's like, you know, why don't we do one? And that is, we're going to call this basically Jedi Answers.
Oh, boy.
Because we are going to delve deep into the world of Yahoo Answers.
Which is a wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Yes, indeed.
Jeff, are you familiar with Yahoo Answers?
I know that it's a thing, and I know that it's a thing that I avoid.
Okay.
If at all possible.
That was my story a week ago when Cole and Andrew Farmer came Skyping in and said, join us on this episode. I joined in, and then they hit me with the exact same thing we're hitting you with. So I was like,
that's right.
I've heard of Yahoo Answers, but I'm not quite sure what it is. And in that week's time, I have become addicted to Yahoo Answers.
I want to put this forward to other podcasters who may listen to this show. I want to start a podcast movement where it's ambush Yahoo Answers.
Yeah.
Invite a guest, invite a friend. Don't tell your co-host what you have in mind. Cull the width and breadth of Yahoo Answers and force them to become embroiled in that strange and mysterious world.
I am recording with Taylor a Talking Toys episode here later tonight, so maybe I'll do that.
Nice plug.
Maybe during a lull.
You can find on marvin.media.com, by the way.
There you go. I was going to ask you, before we get into everything, we want to make sure we give you a chance to plug everything. So,
that's what I got going on right now. Well, Assembly of Geeks as well, and assemblyofgeeks.com. Actually, it's called the Geek Directive now. The Assembly of Geeks is the name of the network. And we actually just announced our own Star Wars show. It's called Sky Talkers, This Galactic Life. It's a new show. It's hosted by a couple of female Star Wars fans who have just joined up, and that will be going live, I believe, the first week of March. And they're going to be on the show that goes live next week. So we're recording this on February 22nd. So the show that goes up on March 1st, I guess, you can listen at assemblyofgeeks.com to hear our interview with them.
That's pretty cool. Awesome.
And I also have Comics with Kenobi, which is on the Copy with Kenobi network, which is out once a month as well, the first Tuesday of the month. So I think everything.
You're a man after my own heart, I want to say, because I love having more irons than fire.
Yes.
All right. Just real quick, is Bantha Banter still a thing, or is that just on hiatus?
It's on hiatus. It's not canceled completely. It's just on hiatus while I live my life.
Yeah,
but no, I'm hoping once I get back from Star Wars Celebration, vacation in April, I can start back up with that as well. It's just a matter of finding time to do it. I know. I'd like to thank the Starlight Foundation for the ticket, that a four-day pass that I won. If I can plug, they're a charitable organization. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter. The Starlight Foundation, they do a lot of good work with kids, and so I'd like to give them a plug as well.
Okay, there you go. Well, they should be lucky, because we usually charge, you know, people like them to be on our show. So no, not really, not really.
No, no.
We would never do that.
We never charge anyone anything.
Yeah. So should we get started?
Think so.
Okay, the way this is going to work, Jeff, we're going to we've dug through Yahoo Answers for Star Wars related questions that people have asked, and we're going to ask the question to you. Well, like, I'll ask my question to you, Jeff, and then you give me your best answer. It doesn't have to be serious. In fact, witty is preferred. And
you
then
may have the wrong guy.
No, I've heard your podcast. You'll be fine. And of course, Cole, you are more than welcome to also jump in either after Jeff or whatever. And then
before we get into posing these questions directly to Jeff, I want to tell a little story that inspired one of my Yahoo Answer searches.
Okay.
Oh boy.
Back when we were, high school kids, a friend of a friend of mine, I guess you know, we kind of knew him pretty well by then, also a big Star Wars fan, also a collector. His little brother, who was younger by a great number of years, would just get so enthusiastic, and he would come and encourage you to ask him, to pose to him the question, whose force is stronger? I'm not sure if in his mind it was Star Wars related, but considering the surroundings and the company, probably was. And so you would ask this question, and then he would charge you and practically beat you, yelling, "Mine!" And so that, he'd be good for, it was one of those fool me once kind of things. So you really didn't, ask
yeah.
him again. Like, yeah, sure, kid. So I got curious. I wondered if I put in whose force is stronger. Unfortunately, that kid did not pose that question to the internet.
He must have at some point in his life asked that question to the wrong person and is no longer with us.
Could well be.
Yeah.
Most of the answers that or questions that were posed were like, military forces. I guess they're trying to decide which small tree to attack and, who's got the least chance of stopping me.
That's a little bit like when I put in the keyword BB-8 to see if I could get any BB-8 related questions that were asked. All I got were questions about Big Brother Season 8, so I kind of gave up on that one.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that would be... I thought it was either that or maybe you got like a follow-up to National Lampoon's Vacation where someone posed the question, will a BB get under your skin, break the skin?
Yeah, no, I didn't see any.
According to John Candy, that's just a wives' tale.
Yeah, I didn't see any Red Rider related questions or anything.
How many of you have put your eye out? But the closest I could find, oddly enough, was with on the first page, who is stronger in Star Wars? And it turns out to go on to say, stormtroopers or clone troopers. So we'll revisit that question a little later.
Okay. So should I go first with mine?
Yeah, go right ahead and,
okay.
and pose away. And
here's the question that was asked on Yahoo Answers. And Jeff, you can answer however you feel the need to. How would Anakin Skywalker or Obi-Wan Kenobi respond to Jehovah Witnesses if they answered the door?
Lightsaber to the throat.
Wow.
Both
I didn't say whose throat. I didn't say whose throat.
Oh, good point. I like how you called it the master.
Nice.
No, I think Anakin would go with a lightsaber to the throat. I think Obi-Wan would just get into an argument with him and probably convert them.
Good one.
I suspect Obi-Wan would just go, this isn't the religion you want to follow.
Oh, you got close, Cole, with that one.
This is not the Lord you're looking for.
Really?
Yes, this is
now
not the Lord
you
you're looking
force
for.
Is stronger.
I like that. Okay, so the best answer was Obi-Wan doing the Force wave. You don't want to try and tell me about your religion. The Jehovah Witnesses would say, I don't want to try and tell you about my religion. Obi-Wan with another Force wave. You're going to go home and rethink your life, Jehovah Witnesses. I'm going to go home and rethink my life.
If the, you're going to go home and rethink your life wasn't already there, I was going to provide it because that belongs.
And I had to scroll through to see what other people answered. And if that was the voted the best answer, but one that,
that is the best answer. Yeah.
The one that tickled me was someone else said, as seems to be the trend, Anakin would be swayed by their convincing sway to religious gobbledygook.
Oh, wow!
Right? I thought, I didn't think of that.
Apparently, all you need is 10 seconds in an opera box with him.
Exactly. So, hold on. He would be swayed by their convincing sway to religious gobbledygook and join up without a second thought, while Obi-Wan would end up risking his life trying to drag him out of it. And the question would be, would you like to live forever in a midichlorian paradise on Earth? So,
wow.
Yeah, hadn't thought of that angle, but so there you go.
That is pretty. That's pretty impressive. I did get curious. I wanted to see. I just had typed in Tauntaun.
Okay.
Or as they say on the Star Wars toy commercial, Tauntaun, Tauntaun, da 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 da. Da, da. So somebody actually posed the question. This came up in the Tauntaun search, so I got curious. What are your top 10 favorite animals? I'm really Perkins, and I'm here to ask you, what are your top 10 favorite animals?
Is this in the Star Wars universe or just in general?
Well, I don't think that whoever posed this question really perfectly flawed posed this question back in...
Truer name was never given.
It's so true.
You are welcome to answer, Jeff, however you like. Also,
yeah, apparently it was just open season, but I guess some smartass who got the best answer. You know, some people were talking about, you know, well, I guess nobody took it entirely seriously. Bears of all types, ducks of all types. Now, you don't have to, you know, qualify it. Gorillas.
It just has to say of all types with whatever animal.
Someone said penguin, not penguins, so I'm guessing they're talking about the penguin.
Just single penguin?
Or I think they're talking about, either Burgess Meredith.
Oh, that's true, Burgess Meredith or certainly not Danny DeVito, one would hope.
It was a good dark penguin. You know, depending, it's sort of the light side and the dark side of penguin.
True story about the penguin. When I was in high school, I was there was this fairly large girl who was a couple of years ahead of me. Saw her one day from behind, and I realized she looks just like the penguin from Batman Returns. And right at that time, she dipped tobacco. She spit in the trash can, and it was black, just like the black spit that Danny DeVito had in the movie.
Oh. Yeah. So it wasn't, he wasn't diseased, he just enjoyed an ice plug of skull.
Exactly.
I never really thought of Oswald Cobblepot as a redneck, but he got kind of thrown out Moses style in his innocence.
Yeah, when you grow up in the sewer, you don't really have much of a chance.
Yeah,
exactly.
You just get the cans of skull people threw out because they're like, what is this crap? I got enough skull to last forever.
At least he was smart enough to spit, not swallow.
Right.
So. Wow. Rancor Pit After Dark.
So, Jeff, top 10. If you think it's more fun, do Star Wars animals.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't even think there are 10 Star Wars. I don't even know of 10 Star Wars animals I could think of. It would be Tauntaun, Dewback, Ronto, Rancor.
Uh-huh.
I guess Rancor should be higher considering my company. I apologize.
We're not easily offended.
Well, would you consider like a Trandoshan an animal since they're sentient?
Not really. I consider them more an alien.
I would think
species.
So as well. Space Slug, Minot.
Oh, yes. Nice. Space Slug and Minot. 60%
there.
Let's see. What are the things in the Clone Wars that they had to fly through the nebula and there were like the little space manta rays that were electric, whatever those are called.
Oh, we'll let you have it. I don't even have one clue.
Let's see. Hoojibs. I'm assuming they still
have Hoojibs.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
wow. Yes. Good callback, but ouch.
Gotta have Hoojibs.
One of my favorites.
And let's see. Ugnaughts don't count because they're sentient. The little frogs that Jabba the Hutt ate.
Yeah, and his little hors d'oeuvres.
The Sarlacc.
Oh, there you go. Very good.
Nice.
Not mentioned the Famba, the Kadu, and the Falumpa set from Naboo. I don't blame you. It's all episode one.
Did you say the Snuffleupagus?
The Snuffleupagus was actually episode three.
Oh, gotcha.
We couldn't see him as long as we were looking at the screen.
Yeah, exactly. Anytime the Jedi showed up, he'd wander off.
That's right. Very nice, nice. I like that.
No wonder Anakin turned to the dark side. I'm sorry, Annie. You understand? Every time I try to show Obi-Wan or Yoda, you disappear. What are you doing? I don't work for Palpatine. What?
As far as I'm concerned, Jeff wins when he brought up Who Jibs.
Yes, Who Jibs was definitely a best answer. This is odd because the best answer voted for by people.
Yeah.
Number 10, Ewoks, courageous in battle.
But they're sentient.
Yeah, well, obviously Sam I Am here a decade ago didn't think this through. Unicorns hard to catch.
What?
I'm not sure if you're talking about the mythical unicorn, the horse with the little horn in its head, mm-hmm. or just like, you know, the
bisexual. Either way, it's true.
Your wife's okay with. But yes, either way, they're hard to catch. Tauntauns, fun to ride in the snow. Salmon, good eating. Falcons, my team. Okay. Again, Sam I Am, not thinking it through. Wookiees, thanks, Chewie. Thanks for the next. No wonder Sam I Am mistook.
Gets no respect whatsoever.
I know, yeah. Right? No medal, no respect.
Tuna, good eating. Another one could go either way. Tigers, born that year. I don't know if he means born the year of the tiger.
That's, I would assume that's what he means.
His favorite animals are whatever tigers were born 10 years ago. Number two, sharks, badass. And finally, wolf, like me, and my boys, a pack.
Oh,
this sounds like it was written
God.
By Napoleon Dynamite.
Right? Oh, my gosh, that's genius. Yeah. Okay.
Salmon, good eating.
Jeff with two home runs with a span of like 3 minutes. Who Jibs and Napoleon Dynamite.
God. Chickens with talons.
Salmon,
tigers.
Oh, gosh.
I was born in the year of the liger.
Every one of those could be an answer that he said. One of those. That is genius. Are we sure that was not written by him?
Caught you the delicious salmon.
Brilliant.
Oh my gosh. Well,
definitely wound up with the right guest for this show.
Exactly. I knew. Yeah, and Who Jibs proved it right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had to take a step back to the person who gave that question, the Jehovah's Witness question, Gerbil31603.
Gerbil.
Which wow. is one of his favorite animals. I gotta give him kudos because I looked at what other questions he had asked on Yahoo Answers, and just quickly before I get on to the next question, I gotta read these out. The best of his were, which Jurassic Park dinosaur would rid us of the cast of High School Musical? How can I stop a puppy from following me? Cabbage Patch Kids or Care Bears? Which are more evil? Who from Are You Being Served would Die Hard's John McClane throw off the top of Grace Brothers first? And finally,
complex question.
I don't know. What's your favorite name for a female fancy rat? I thought, oh my gosh! So I was like, that guy, he gets a no prize from the Rancor Pit.
Are you being served? The answer would be Mr. Humphreys, hands down.
Let me see what he.
I'm gonna go with Mr. Mash. I mean, everybody hated Mr. Mash. He was just a poor replacement.
Oh, I can't. The link won't work now. we'll never know what the best answer was. Okay, but here's the Star Wars question, Jeff. Are you ready? Why? This is less a question, more of a opinion. But anyway, why does Obi-Wan Kenobi suck?
Oh, I know, but go ahead.
Again, it's less of a question, more of an opinion.
Yeah, well, all of my answers were extremely off color, so I'm trying to clean it up for the home office.
Don't worry about us,
Mr. Miyagi style training for
We discovered early on that the younger audience tunes into the live show, not the podcast. So you can go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I'm thinking that he sucks because of a Mr. Miyagi style training regimen that gave a whole new meaning to the words wax on and wax off.
So why does Obi-Wan suck? Obi-Wan sucks because he spent how many years watching over Luke Skywalker and couldn't come up with a better story than Darth Vader murdered your father?
Oh my gosh.
Wow. That's some pretty hard-hitting journalism there.
Right. Just go for the throat right there.
I mean, come on, you got 18 years down there to work up that lie, and that's the best you can come up with?
That is true. That is very true.
And then when Luke calls him on it, he's had how many years in being one with the Force to come up with what I told you was true from a certain point of view?
Meanwhile, Qui-Gon Jinn's spirit's like, that was the best you could do?
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
So that's why Obi-Wan Kenobi sucks.
I like where you're headed with that, because he really did have ample time. But I think it's one of those things like, okay, back in the day when Blockbuster was around, you might be sitting at the house and think, I'm going to go over to Blockbuster because I can think of 20 different movies I'd love to see. And you would walk in the door and you'd just go blank. And you'd go and rent some damn thing you'd seen 10 times already.
Or you'd walk out with, like, Condor Man.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Whoa. What's wrong with Condor Man?
Oh, okay, well.
I'll give you one everyone can agree on. You think you're going to finally see the remake of The Blob, uh-huh. And you get back to the house, and you open up the case, and inside is Eric Estrada in Honey Boy.
Nice.
Honey Boy? I've never heard of that. Look
it up. You'll love it.
Is it a porno? Will I get a virus?
It sounds like it, yeah.
You ought to, but unfortunately it's not either. But I think, Jeff, you're on the right track, because I was going to say that Obi-Wan sucks because, as the article I wrote for my own network says, Obi-Wan Kenobi is a damn liar.
Yeah.
Because all Obi-Wan does from the second he, I don't recall ever owning a droid. Okay, technically you probably didn't own the droid. It was like a company car. It was given to you by the boss. But still, it's not like you didn't have droids hanging around. It's not like the Jedi were cloistered away in some dirt hut or something.
Right.
Your father was, I was astonished by what an amazing pilot your father was. All you did was roll your eyes when you met his dad. You couldn't stand that little brat. Nobody could. You wanted to give him a lightsaber to the throat.
I have to give a slight correction, Cole, if I may. He doesn't suck because he's a liar. He sucks because he's a bad liar.
Oh, very good. Yes,
exactly.
Worst liar ever.
I'm not gonna read the best answer because it was just someone trying to go on like shaking their virtual finger saying, this is not really a question. You need to go look up what a question is, and blah blah blah.
You need to go to Yahoo Opinions.
Yeah. There you go. It was almost that bad. It was almost that condescending. But so I'm skipping that, and I'm going to some of the other ones I thought were funny. One was, because he ain't Vader.
Nice.
Wow.
And then
from Chasing Amy saying that?
Right. And then the other one, too, why does Obi-Wan Kenobi suck? The person responded, you're one to talk.
Wow!
You, sir, are the one that sucks.
It is you who are the sucker.
Right.
Oh, wow.
So I thought those were much better than the best answer.
Wow, that's an impressive. Plus, the question about Obi-Wan being a bad liar, the only good lie he ever told was, these aren't the droids you're looking for.
You're right. Okay,
why did he like force flash Luke?
That's like, true.
Tell me about your my father. Oh, he's a great guy. That's all you need to know. That's about all I really need to know anyway. Thanks. That's a weight off my shoulders. All right. I got this one kind of struck me funny. Can someone give me a brief summary about Star Wars 5, Empire Strikes Back?
Sure. What? Luke gets frozen. Luke runs away. Luke meets a Muppet. Han and Leia fall in love. Han gets frozen. Luke loses a hand. oh my God, Vader's my dad. Everybody's bummed out. The end.
Genius. Genius. And lo and behold, here I am, mind blown, thinking, they did get both get frozen in the same movie. Derp. Never occurred to me. I'm not even going to answer that one because Jeff kind of summarized it perfectly.
Yeah. Well, I want to point out, first off, to XSWT underscore LDYX. I'm not going to try to pronounce that. Probably some kind of foreign name. Number one, it's Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, get
nerd.
Yeah, this guy's such a nerd. He doesn't get... here's a good answer here. Ice Planet, Big Battle, Luke, Han, Leia, Chewie, 3PO, R2, D2, Darth Vader, Stormtrooper, Space Battle.
Just read the cast!
Crash Landing, Betrayal, Revelation, Lost Grief, Hunting... Okay, I guess bounty hunting, perhaps?
Yeah, probably.
There, how's that for a brief summary? Well, apparently, number one, in no particular order. Generally, when one summarizes, the idea is to summarize in the order of events. But, hey, thank you for playing.
Yeah, they're just, like, saying who the players were in the story. Strange. I will say this. I'm not going to try to summarize it. But is it just me? It seems like... I noticed nobody claimed Empire Strikes Back as their favorite movie until Kevin Smith claimed it as his favorite movie in one of the issues of Wizard Magazine. Because after that article came out and he said that, it seemed like after that, suddenly everybody's favorite was Empire Strikes Back after that.
Well, he said that in Clerks. That was the argument Dante made in Clerks about why it was better.
True, that's true, but like, I guess
he actually came out on a personal level saying,
"Yeah, yeah."
But I don't know. I guess it depends on who you happen to be, you know, who was in your sphere of influence, because the general consensus, even before Clerks, in many respects, is that Empire was tended to be the fan favorite. In my experience, even without benefit of Kevin Smith declaring from on high, but I think what did happen there is the type of people who read Wizard Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, read it like people read the New York Times or Time Magazine or something like that, or other magazines with the word time in them. Especially because if I'm going to be a pedant, I have to point out that New York Times is a newspaper. But
yes, Mr. The Empire Strikes Back.
I couldn't resist after Chris Hardwick's tirade on Talking Dead last Sunday. Where, I can't remember the actor's name now. Andrew Lincoln.
Yeah. Don't spoil anything, because I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, it's something Andrew Lincoln said where he sort of misspoke. And
oh, okay.
Hardwick wasn't wanting to let him go on that.
Oh, gotcha. Goodness. Okay, am I up?
Go right ahead, because I don't think there's not a lot here. Apparently, a couple of people are really trying to invoke Joseph Campbell.
Oh, okay.
Because they're trying to get all smart ass. The call to adventure is when? The call to adventure, this time in quotation marks, in The Empire Strikes Back, is when? It's like, no, there isn't really a call to adventure in Empire because he's already there.
He's in the middle of it already, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right.
This one, the call to adventure in TESB is when Obi-Wan Kenobi's spirit contacts Luke and tells him Yoda and Dagobah is on the Dagobah system. No, he's already in the adventure. He was at the damn Battle of Hoth. That was just more like the mystery map. You know, here's where you ought to be going, dumbass.
Alrighty. Now, here's the next question. How would you rank these personages? How do you say this?
Personages.
Sorry.
The reason I know that is there was a Twilight Zone where this guy brought William Shakespeare back.
Gotcha.
Had him work with Burt Reynolds.
Here, I'm saying personages.
Wait, are you serious?
Oh, God's truth. Yeah, Burt Reynolds was on a Twilight Zone.
Was it one of the new ones, like in the 80s?
No, this was the original.
Rod Serling Twilight Zone. I have to find that episode.
I'm really familiar with the Twilight Zone. I don't remember Burt Reynolds being on it.
Yeah, he played a young actor who Shakespeare had considerable disdain. What is this personage? Whatever the character's name was. Check it out. It's Burt Reynolds.
Nice. And I learned a new word today.
Yes, indeed. See, Yahoo okay. Answers is a font of knowledge.
This is the first time. I'll give it this one time.
It's only okay. Because we're here to bolster it, you see.
There you go. There you go. Okay, rank these. And it doesn't say by strength or by, you know, brain power or whatever, but rank these people. Albert Einstein, Curious George, Sarah Palin, Karl Marx, and Jar Jar Binks.
Wow.
You could go from least to best, weakest to strongest, dumbest to smartest, whatever you choose, Jeff, you're up.
It's hard to find a common ground there. Upon
or however you want to tackle those.
I'm going to go in descending order of intelligence.
Okay.
Okay, so Albert Einstein obviously is going to be at the top.
Uh-huh.
And I'm missing somebody. It was Albert Einstein, Curious George, Sarah Palin.
Karl Marx.
And who?
Jar Binks? Binks. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it's going to be Albert Einstein. Below him is Karl Marx. Below him is Curious George. Below him is Jar Jar Binks. And I guess that leaves Sarah Palin at the bottom.
I can get behind that. Now,
4 and 5 could be interchanged. I will say that.
I think 4 and 5 are probably a dead heat. Curious George is rather intelligent as small primates go, but his own inquisitive nature is his undoing.
You're right. I think that's what the best answer person had in mind.
Oh, okay. I wanted to say, though, my ranking was more on strength, and I think that in the end, Curious George would take them all in a fight.
Oh, absolutely.
However,
oh,
yeah. Karl Marx, in his youth, a young Karl Marx was actually an avid primate fighter. That was huge in Imperial Russia.
Really?
Yeah, they were so rich. The Tsars would import, like, gorillas and orangutans, and they would just have people have boxing matches with them.
Well, wasn't Sarah Palin the one that was toting the big hunting rifle at one point?
Any stray primates that may have swum across the Bering Strait.
Okay.
Because that's how you get Bigfoots.
Yeah. That's... We don't want that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to know... Okay, that was posed by the user Gossamer. No, I'm sorry. Gossamer Presents. I'd like to know how Gossamer Presents came up with those five particular people. But the best answer, and they listed it as from least to most. I don't know what most or what. They just put least to most. Least being Curious George... Jar Jar Binks, Sarah Palin, Karl Marx, and Albert Einstein. But as is the case with many of these,
I'm
going to
say that's success using silverware.
Right. Oh, exactly. I will agree with you there.
How about most facial hair?
Uh huh.
Karl Marx, Curious George, Albert Einstein. Jar Jar Binks, Sarah Palin.
Probably has more hair than Jar Jar Binks, isn't he?
I'm sorry, I got those reversed. Yeah, I did actually reverse myself.
I would put Sarah Palin before Jar Jar Binks because on she's known for not waxing her upper lip as often as she needs to.
Bless her heart.
Yeah, I know.
That's how you get Bigfoots.
Right.
I mean, nice if you're trying to lure them in. They love a 5 o'clock shadow.
Right. Oh, I'm going to have to tackle that in the next figments. Okay.
Sarah Palin's 5 o'clock shadow. Is it real or is it a figment?
There you go. So I have to say, you know, with many of these, when you scroll to see the other answers, you often find a better answer that didn't get voted best answer. And this one was my personal favorite. Okay. They didn't even rank them. They just described them. And I thought that was, like, stupid and genius at the same time. Their answer was, two are cartoons. One is the father of death. One is the father of the Soviet state. and one has legs that can be wrapped around my neck anytime she wants.
Which one was Sarah Palin, do you think?
I don't know if Jar Jar Binks' gender was ever specifically identified.
Right. I'm going to say Sarah and Curious George were grouped as the cartoons, and then I'm going to, yeah, Jar Jar Binks as the neck wrestler person. Or Jar Jar could be the
Jar Jar, Jar, Jar could be the architect of death, if I'm not mistaken.
I was going to say the father of death. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's what I would like.
Right. So there you have it. There's our ranking of those five wonderful personages.
Personages.
I know. I'm going to stick with personages. Oh, all right, Cole, you're up.
All right. Well, I feel it's only fitting and proper that we find some kind of question on the Rancor monster.
Oh, of course.
And this one, there were some interesting ones. Is Rancour, in this case, R-A-N-C-O-U-R.
Yeah, that's a type of whiskey.
Is a French Rancor monster. In the French translation, 3PO, voiceover was sort of "Ze Rancour."
That would be the Rancour with cheese.
Oh, of course, Rancour cheese. All right.
Because they use the metric system over there.
That's right. That would have nothing to do with it.
But I know.
Is the Rancour monster from Return of the Jedi harder than a Balrog of Mordor? That was too personal a question.
Yeah, can we define what they mean by harder?
To me, was clicking. I wasn't even going to say that.
I didn't even think of that.
You know what? Either way, I'm going to say no.
No. Okay. Explain, please. Or do you not want to?
Well, I mean, if you're thinking harder to defeat, it took a wizard like Gandalf to fall, for eternity fighting him. To kill the Balrog, it was like six weeks or something.
All it took
for the Rancor was Luke Skywalker lobbing a softball at a wall.
Yeah, he was playing a carnival game, for God's sake.
Exactly. And if you're talking about any other meaning of the word, the Balrog, I believe, is made of molten lava, so it's going to harden into solid rock eventually.
It'll eventually become like at the end of the battle. Gandalf had enough pumice to last forever.
Exactly. That's why he's Gandalf the White now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he just scrubbed everything.
He had some lava. That's something not a lot of people know.
That's fascinating.
I would have.
You sound like me all of a sudden.
To go in a different direction, I would have to give it to the Rancor, because it's well known that the Rancor is the Ron Jeremy of the Star Wars universe.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I went there.
So that was
And Ron Jeremy went there.
Oh yes, apparently he did. Also, little known fact: he's a grower. Okay.
nice.
Let's see here. One of the Star Wars related questions. A lot of them have to do with the word Rancor, like the difference between rancor and enmity.
Enmity.
Enmity. But this one, somebody is asking, why does that guy cry after Luke kills the Rancor in Jedi?
Are you serious?
Somebody asks how to kill or bypass the Rancor in Knights of the Old Republic.
No, you can't.
Oh, really?
I've tried.
Okay. I never made it without biting.
It's like Frogger. You just got to press forward.
Okay. In a way, it is kind of like Frogger when Luke dropped that door on him, like so much traffic.
Right.
But my favorite is a guy who uses a picture of Homer Simpson as his icon, Maddie McRib. Thank you, Maddie, for this back in 2008. Star Wars question, how long did the Rancor live for?
Ah.
Okay, I believe the correct question is, for how long did the Rancor live?
Well, we are
you want to be grammatically correct.
Show,
yeah.
Exactly. Are you from, the middle part of the middle episodes of a series of unfortunate events by chance?
No, I haven't even started it yet.
Okay. You'll enjoy that part if you're going to be that specific about grammar.
I'm usually not. I just, if you're going to take the time to write it, come on, let's get it right.
Exactly. And he goes on to say...
Welcome to the internet.
If you can ask a silly question, at least do it intelligently.
That's right. Otherwise, you'll end up on this show.
Exactly.
And look at what's happened to me. Exactly. Learn from my mistake.
I love this. In the movie Return of the Jedi, the Rancor died before his time. How many Earth years did the Rancor's life... Did the Rancor's lifespan? I guess that actually does work as a proper sentence. He was really huge. I think that goes back to the harder question. Does that mean he lived to a very old age? I wasn't aware that size and age were mutually exclusive, but how fast growing was the species? Do they continue to grow their entire lives? I'd love to know your answer, but first I have to say, I don't think our question poser here realizes they're not real. It's not like when you went to go see the live-action Jungle Book and that pangolin came out, and I was one of only 7 people in America who knew what the hell that thing was.
Spoiler alert, there's a pangolin in the movie.
I don't even know what a pangolin is.
Neither do I.
Like these things. Go to Yahoo Answers.
Right.
But no, one would assume that the Rancor lives a fairly normal lifespan because the assumption is that the Rancor Keeper raised it from a baby. So you would imagine they grow fairly quickly.
Yeah, actually, a no joke, I think that was actually established in one of those Tales of books. There is a Rancor Keeper story, and I think I've read it years and years and years ago, and I think you may actually be on target with the raising it from a youngling.
Well, I'm sure the Boy and His Monster is the title of the book. A Boy and His Monster, The Rancor Keeper's Tale from Tales from Jabba's Palace.
You serious?
Yes, A Boy and His Monster was the name of it.
Okay. I thought
The guys from Star Wars in Character did mention that in their show, which is another great podcast if nobody's listening to it and you can handle a lot of four-letter words. A lot of fun.
Nice. I love the fact that the best answerer not only quotes A Boy and His Monster, The Rancor Keeper's Tale, in the anthology Tales of Jabba's Palace, that he also adds links. You could learn more about rancors, but sadly not their life expectancy, on the Wikipedia page for them, and about Jabba's rancor specifically. So this is the Jawa James here really was an answer worth his salt, very well deserving of best answer, because there's like 2 paragraphs plus links. Not only did he do his homework, he encourages you to read a little more.
He just knows how to copy and paste. That's all it is.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Jeff, did you answer that to your satisfaction?
Yes, but did I answer it to yours?
Oh, yeah, we're not picky.
Just like my ex-girlfriend.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Very self-deprecating.
Kidding. She was very picky. That's why she's not with me anymore.
Yeah, so not picky is what you say about your current girlfriend. Very picky is what you say about your former girlfriend.
Sure, yes.
No, I looked it up on Yahoo Answers just now. Okay. That's the dynamic of that statement.
Right, exactly. Okay, I have my next question here. Gentlemen, ready?
This one not best answer. Ironically, it's from Logan. So I'm going to read it like Wolverine. It's like, how the mother, many asterisks, is anyone supposed to know that? Besides someone who just makes up many asterisks, I've seen some of the books about the Star Wars universe and never seen anything mentioned because it isn't a big character in the movies, let alone the series.
Actually, it is a big character.
Yeah, just ask those creeps over at the Rancor Pit.
No, I mean, it's like physically a big character.
It is large and hard.
Yeah, right. And depending on who you ask, can take down a Balrog. But
Okay. Dragon from Dragon Slayer.
True.
I've seen pictures.
Oh, that's right. That's those production photos, those old production photos. Those are cool. Okay, here we go. Who has a longer tongue? Jar Jar Binks or Miley Cyrus?
It's a trick question. The answer is it's a trick question. The answer is me.
I will point out that they later on added in or Gene Simmons.
Oh, here's an interesting thing about tongues, and this is, I haven't verified this, so somebody can verify it for me, but I've been told this before. We all of our tongues are roughly the same length. It's just that they're connected in different places in our mouth. So really? Gene Simmons, yeah, someone who's tongue-tied, their tongue is connected right near the very tip of their tongue, so they can't stick it out very far. And like Gene Simmons had his snipped, so that's why his falls out of his mouth.
That weird little fleshy bit there just below the underside of
the tongue. That connects it to you, yeah.
Are you serious? He did that?
Yeah, it's a thing. You can do that, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but the answer is a lingual circumcision.
Yes, as far as we know. But the answer to that question is, Jar Jar Binks has a longer tongue, but Miley Cyrus just seems longer because we've seen it more.
That's a good answer! Wow, I like that. I like that.
Also, both have stuck their head in an electric field, and Miley Cyrus's tongue has seen a lot more action.
True. But oddly enough, both have been pinched by Liam Neeson.
Oh, that's true.
So I've heard, at least.
Well, and there's the same circumstances.
Right.
They were dining together at the Brown Derby, and Miley was trying to reach for a muffin with her... chameleon style.
with her Gungan tongue.
Now, there's an episode of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee I would love to see. Liam Neeson and Miley Cyrus.
Oh, wow.
Discussing their craft.
Oh, their craft. She actually has a craft.
Actually, she was once an actress-ish.
Exactly. If you want to call it that, yeah.
And she acts like a singer, so.
Yeah. She's at the height of her acting powers. And it's a shame.
Okay, so the best answer was...
mine.
As far as Yahoo users, yes, yours definitely was. I do not want to offend our guest, but yes, yours was the best. But according to Yahoo Answers, since Jar Jar Binks is only a computer-generated image, he does not actually have a tongue or a body, so Miley wins by default.
What a nerd.
Wow. I know. Hold on, it gets better. If you're looking for the girl with the world's record for longest tongue, however, you should probably check out Adrienne Lewis, whose tongue is long enough that she can lick her own eye.
Wow, and she's like a gecko.
And then he drops the mic. The virtual mic.
Wow. Well, I don't think he deserves the mic drop. Because the question wasn't about long-tongued girls.
It was not. I know, exactly. How got voted best?
He took it in his own little direction just so he could drop a mic, and that's not how that's done.
Exactly. Although, here's another little fun Gene Simmons side story. I was a big fan of Runaway, the Tom Selleck movie.
Great movie.
That had Gene Simmons. I did not realize that was the guy from Kiss until years and years and years later.
These are not the templates, Ramsey. Side story about Gene Simmons. I posted this on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, but the John Stamos action classic Never Too Young to Die is finally coming to Blu-ray. Which the reason that this is the best movie ever made is A, as I just said, it stars John Stamos. B, it has vanity in it. There's a shower scene. C, Gene Simmons plays the villain. The villain in this film is a hermaphrodite named Velvet Von Ragnar. And at one point in the movie, he wears an outfit that Linda Carter herself has been photographed wearing as well.
Wow.
Have I sold the film?
I think you have.
You actually sold it weeks ago because I did read that post.
Yes. Come to find out, a guy I went to high school with is actually responsible for getting released. So how cool is that?
That is kind of cool. Wow. For all four people who want that on Blu-ray.
He and I are two of them.
Yeah, John Stamos is not even on that list.
But Gene Simmons is.
Right. Of course he is. Oh, gosh.
Oh, God. Well, going back, we really need to go ahead and wrap it up here because our guest needs to get on to other podcasts, and we need to get this thing in the can. So going back to the closest I could find to whose force is stronger was who's stronger in Star Wars, stormtroopers or clone troopers, the best answer seems to be a microcosm of every other answer. They're saving you having to even bother reading the others because it seems like just a litany of addressing other answers. Like my favorite part, first of all, stormtroopers are not the same as clone troopers, at least not all of them, and the normal human troopers all wore the white armor. The only thing that got them out of it was if they were elevated to officer level and they got the olive green uniforms. It goes on from there. Somewhere in here, somebody is addressing the that somewhere in the I guess the former expanded universe, that the Empire had lost the ability to clone people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, here it was. It's in one of the novels that revealed the Empire had lost the ability to clone people. What the novel is, I read most of them. I never seen anything like that. Said this is what goes on into weird things here. But essentially, what are your feelings on who's stronger?
I would say the clone troopers are stronger because they're better shots. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is enough.
I think you can back that up because technically the clone troopers are all Jango Fett.
True.
So it's sort of like, you know, Nikola Tesla in The Prestige. They are all your hat. Because essentially every single clone trooper is just a perfect copy of Jango Fett. So you have hundreds of thousands of Jango Fetts, where in my personal opinion, the stormtroopers always have been, always will be, a conscript army. Not just leftover clones or...
Yeah.
Or clones themselves, and I hated the action figure with, like, oh, look, it's the Biker Scout with the Jango Fett head under his helmet.
Yeah, I didn't get that either.
No. Yeah. No.
Okay, I'm going to say it's not so simple as to break it down between the clone troopers and the stormtroopers, because on the one hand, I would agree on the clone troopers being superior if it's a Generation 1 cycle of clone troopers. Because, as was addressed in the Clone Wars series, they eventually started to become a copy of a copy of a copy, much like in Multiplicity, the Michael Keaton movie. That's, there were some clones that, let's just say, weren't up to par.
They called everyone Steve, we'll just say that, yeah.
Right. So if we're comparing Stormtroopers to first, maybe second, maybe third generation clone troopers, then yes, I would say definitely the clone troopers were superior. Although I think the stormtroopers from Force Awakens seem to have it more together than the original trilogy stormtroopers. That's just me though.
I think they were a little more committed.
A little bit more committed, but then again, they are a little bit more emotional, as we saw with Finn.
Well, I think really though, for the most part, the rank and file stormtrooper, your middle period type of stormtroopers. You had your clone troopers who were all stamped from the same mold, all trained under the same regimen. Everything about them was pretty much identical. All they ever knew, literally, was white uniforms and shooting people.
Uh-huh.
So you get to your middle period, which will be your episodes 4 through 6.
Yep.
There you have a conscript army. It's not just a job, it's a job. Or if you're on Tatooine, it's not just a job, it's Jabba. But, you know, that's why they're so easily mystified by the Force, and they're not great shots. And then by the time you get to Episode 7, these are literally, like, the closest thing to a clone, because they've just taken random children at birth and sort of force-fed them propaganda and given them guns, either mops or guns or both. And... So that's why they seem a little more committed, because they're more fanatical and the perfect fascist soldier.
True. I can see that. I know we're getting low on time, but I got to throw this other one in here just real quick. Can I feed my pet Ewok a KFC bowl? After all, they do the body oh so good.
Yes. The answer is yes, but then you have to clean out the fur.
Oh, wow. Get the wet nap. Dang.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, if you want to know what someone like the Shih Tzu owners go through.
Then
you feed it whatever you want. Give it a nice chocolate Ex-Lax for dessert while you're at it, dumbass.
Exactly. What? Gross.
That's what you get for forcing an Ewok into slavery and calling your pet.
Right, exactly. Pet Ewok. Yeah, the best answer for this one was, Ewoks haven't eaten chicken since the dawn of time. Thus, their digestive system won't accept it. And just like a bird eating rice, they will explode.
Oh, wow! Wow, somebody knows their anatomy and physiology.
Apparently of imaginary creatures. And then someone responded to them, who was obviously irate over their answer. He said, dude, it's got layers of all his favorites. It covers the majority of the basic food groups. So yeah, I would say if you didn't feed your Ewok a KFC bowl, then you would be violating his civil liberties.
But the Ewok, the moon of Endor, the century moon of Endor does not have maize. You call it corn. And again, the corn goes right back to Jeff's point, because that's just going to auger its way through his system.
Uh-huh.
He had to use the word auger, didn't he?
Right.
It's my favorite.
Mr. Roto-Rooter over here.
When talking about poopies, I always use the word auger.
So, yeah, this is crazy, craziness. Oh, gosh.
Well, Jeff, thank you, by the way, for joining us in this madness, completely sight unseen.
Oh, yeah, this was fun.
You have
we really sincerely hope you did have fun. You're not just thinking, oh my gosh, I'll never do this. Like, I should have learned my lesson from the previous two shows.
No, this is great. This is my kind of podcast. There's absolutely no prep. I don't have to do any of the editing. All I have to do is show up and be a jackass.
I know. I haven't had one of those in ages.
We do the same thing for this podcast. No prepping, no editing.
The editing, yeah.
We don't need to do that. We just throw it out there. No cuts or anything.
Chop a little off the top and off the bottom just to get the pre and post out of the way, and that's about it.
I do have to throw this in. Okay, and for those of you who are easily offended, we'll see you next week on the Rancor Pit Live. Thank you for joining us. Goodbye. And for everyone else who's sticking around for this gem that I came across, I have to throw it in, and I do not expect answers from either one of you. In fact, I don't want an answer from either one of you.
Just you wait on the next Rancor Pit Live on the...
The question posed, and at first I started thinking, why is this a Star Wars question? Until I read the answer. Question: what makes people gay? Answer: gay midichlorians.
Oh, wow.
That was actually voted
gay
the best.
Gay midichlorians.
That was actually voted the best answer for that question.
So is it like the gay side of the Force?
I guess.
What about bi midichlorians? You know, somebody just wants to swing both ways, you know. Dark side, light side, a little both.
Those are bidichlorians, yes.
Oh, bidichlorians. All right, well, we will... Jeff, I guess, did we get the entire litany of places to find you at the the top of the hour?
I believe so, but in case we missed it, marvindonmedia.com, coffeewithkenobi.com. I do have a monthly blog there in addition to my work on Comics with Kenobi, and assemblyofgeeks.com.
Excellent. We'll be sure to check that out if you get a chance, because Jeff does some amazing work, and we've had the good fortune of working with him on the at the G.I. Joe show. Will you be attending AllCon by chance?
More than likely not. I will be at Celebration, so if anybody listening is going to Celebration, let me know. Look me up. Find me on Twitter, the Jeff McGee, or Marvin Dog Media on Twitter, or on Facebook, and let me know. We can meet up and hang out there.
Did you do what I did and send out a hopeful... shout into the dark and apply for the podcasting room?
I did not, since Bantha Banter is on sort of a hiatus. I didn't even bother. I couldn't even get approved for a media pass.
I just threw it out there because I knew there was no way hell I could do it, but it would be nice to go on the live show and say, ha, we got asked to be on.
Here is a bit of trivia. Last Celebration Anaheim was the very first time they had the podcast stage. I was a guest on the very first podcast to record on the podcast stage.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, the guys from Coffee with Kenobi were the very first people to record on the podcast stage.
So you don't.
I followed up the actor who played Dak in The Empire Strikes Back.
There you go. See, now there's really no reason to bother now because you've already done that.
Exactly. I told you he was a podcasting legend.
There you go.
On the show. Yeah.
No, there you go.
I ain't no liar. I asked Yahoo Answers. Am I a liar? It said no.
Yahoo Answers is rather the magic eight ball of the world.
Yeah, I have a feeling I'm going to lose quite a bit of time on this now. Yeah, thank you so much for that.
So as I did in the past week.
And remember, podcasters, spread the Yahoo Answers love. Force people you know and love and care about or work with to join you on Yahoo Answers, and then ruin their lives, as we have so many. And in the meantime, Eddie and I will be back in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, depending on how many Sundays there are this month, with more Simple Tricks and Nonsense. And look for us, of course, at AllCon at ALL-CON.net. That is the March 16th to the 19th, 2016, in Addison, Texas. We'll be hosting a minimum of 3 Star Wars game shows amidst tons of other programming. Over 350 things going on in the course of 4 days. What will you do at AllCon 2017? We're coming to you from the Jedi Cole Universe at JediCole.com. Look for our tweets at the Jedi Cole U. You can write to me at jcumail@yahoo.com, and look for Eddie. Is it eddiemedina.com?
That is correct.
Very good. And also look for us on watchonairlive.com on the first and third Sundays of every month for the Rancor Pit live streaming out of beautiful Dallas, Texas.
And our archived page of all of our past Rancor Live episodes are on our YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and type in Rancor Pits, and make sure it doesn't autocorrect you to Rancor, which it does to me every time. So,
and then you'll find out for yourself just how hard the Rancor is. And so we'll be back in 2 weeks with your favorite hardest Star Wars guys.
Hard Star Wars guys, that's disgusting.
The moist side of the Force.